Welcome to Construction Host. My name is Hudad, and I'll be speaking with influencers in the construction industry. We'll learn more about who they are, what they do, and what's their passion at work and outside work. Remember, if you like this episode, please share it with your friends and subscribe to the channel. All right, welcome Steve. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, not a problem. Thank you for having me on.
No worries. Let's start from very beginning. Where were you born and grew up?
Okay, I was born in Marrickville Hospital in Marrickville, but we lived in Enmore in the early 70s. And we stayed there for about 6-7 years, roughly, through the late 70s. Then we moved into Erwood, which is a couple suburbs away. And we've just moved around Erwood, and that's where I'm situated at the moment.
Okay, Erwood. So went to school. What was the first kind of job you started doing?
We're going to start way back when I was a paper boy. Yeah. that was still in primary school. So if technically that was probably my first job as a paper boy. That was interesting. Yeah, getting chased by dogs and things like that. But that was all right. But then in high school, I found myself a job with Woolworths.
Right.
Part-time. Yeah, working on Thursday nights and Saturday. Back then, it was up to 12 o'clock.
Right. 12 o'clock on midday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, trading up to 12 o'clock and everything shut back then.
Really?
Which was really good. Not like today, 7 days.
Oh.
So back then, yeah, we had Thursday night, 5 to 9, that was my shift on Thursday night, and 8 to 12 on Saturday, and all the shops used to close after 12.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Back then, back in the late 80s, that was.
Late 80s, okay. Mm. So, paperboy, and look, that's probably more of a casual job. So, I'm just trying to get at, how did your career end up in Dulux?
Okay, then yeah. I took an interest in drafting and drawing in high school. So, I'd done that as my electives in year 11 and 12.
Right.
I've done art, I've done three unit art, and I've done 2 unit in drafting. So that's how I got my interest in, let's say, architecture and building and all that. So I kind of swayed to that.
Nice.
When I left school, I got myself for a job with Boral SGB, which is a scaffolding company. I used to be the designer estimator or junior there, So I used to design the scaffolding on big constructions. So how many floors it would be, what would you need, the cost of it, and then we'll make a bit of a estimate
on the project for scaffolding.
For scaffolding, yeah.
Wow.
And my biggest job that I can remember was down at York Street, the corner of York, and I can't remember the street now, it was down on York, it's right on the corner. And that went for a couple of years. The cost of that was the hire was $1 million of scaffolding.
Okay.
From start to finish of that job. So, I remember that. But that was a great little win for us.
And you were still like 20s?
I was in early 20s then. I'd done a drafting course, got my diploma in drafting. I had the opportunity to go back and do it as a CAD, on the CAD system on computers.
Right.
I didn't, because then I started swinging into, I got another job. I got into paints. I know, I used to for a company, I don't think it's going now, but it's called Award Holdings. And they were based in the North Shore. So we used to estimate the cost of the paint and the paint job.
Right.
And I used to go around and help on leads. And that was pretty good. That went for a year or so, year and a half. I remember my first two leads were the best, or one of the best, because I had some really good jobs after that. But we had a retainer and we had a commission. And the first one was, I think it was a $2,000 job, a small one. And
so where did you find those jobs though?
They had people that used to go out and
ring
up and get the leads and all that. And we used to go in there and just
price the jobs. Okay.
Yeah. Some we used to get and some we didn't.
So that was kind of the first experience with painting.
That was the first. Then I got married. So things changed. So in my mid-20s, I got married young. I always wanted to be a young father.
Right.
I always wanted to be a young father.
Okay.
I met this lovely lady called Karina, mm-hmm. and I'm still with her now, and she's lovely. And we got married. So we went a lot of holidaying, let's say.
Nice.
So we kept on. We just had the bug back then, and we just kept on going. You know, we went to Bangkok, went to Tahiti for a honeymoon, went to Europe quite a few times.
Right.
So we just had that bug. So we got out of that system. Got into that
traveling.
Traveling out of system. So we settled down a bit, and we had a beautiful baby girl, Stephanie, in '96. And then 4 years later, we had a son, Nicholas. In the year 2000.
Your background, your family, is it Greek?
Greek, yeah. My parents are from Greek, yeah. They're from Greece.
Basically. Second generation.
So we're first generation. They came across here I'm going to get this right. My mum was here in 66, and my father came over in 67. So they met here. They met in Sydney, Enway, actually, up the road.
And I'm sure you still like to go back to Greece quite a bit.
Yeah. All with Greece in the last trip. Well, Greece is beautiful. It's just the Greek islands are, if you haven't been, you got to go. Yeah. Simple as that. If you haven't been, you got to go. Yeah, I can brag about it here all day, but if you haven't been, you won't experience it. It's totally different.
I'd love to. I was planning to go last year before all this lockdown, but you talked about the first experience with the paint and estimating, and then what happened after? How did you end up in July?
Okay, so what happened after that? I was in a few jobs in and out, nothing concrete, nothing that I wanted to follow. Mm-hmm. And then I got an opportunity to work for a independent paint company, a retailer.
Right.
Back in, it was a while back, 12, 17 years ago.
Okay.
20 years ago, something like that. And I was with them for about 5 years, and then the owner offered me the company to buy.
Right.
So the owner had 3 stores in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And after a bit of negotiation,
bought a store. Okay.
So I had that for another 12 years.
Paint shop.
Those paint shops, the 3 of them, yeah. So that was interesting. That was fun. That was good. Like, you had the good days, you had the bad days.
What were you selling, if you don't mind?
We sold Dulux. We sold a lot of Wattle as well.
Yeah.
And then there's a few little smaller independent paint companies.
Okay. Resin or something?
No, Resin. Color Trend. I don't know if you heard of Color Trend. Color Makers, they're up in Brookvale. They specialise, they got their own paint, but they specialise in pool paint too, Color Makers.
Right.
Color Trend's just specialising in a bit of everything.
Right.
So interior, exterior and all that. Do you remember Duralex paints?
I'm new in the game.
New in the game. So this Duralex paints. It's a funny story about Duralex paints. They had this product in a gloss water base. Very vibrant colors. Apart from white, they had the yellow, golden yellow. They had the green. They had the red. They had the blue. The black. And
gloss.
Yeah, it was in this gloss acrylic. They had a name for it. The only thing is that they forgot to trademark the name.
And everyone copied it.
Well, one particular company went on and jumped on it and trademarked it. Do you want to know what the name is? No. Aquanamel.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yep.
Wow, interesting story. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. It's a fact. It's a fact.
Fact of the matter.
They forgot to put a trademark on it and stamp it. Yeah, so that's interesting. But yeah, anyway, so...
12 years, you managed 3 stores.
Yeah, the last two got a bit hard because this small little company came into the game called Bunnings.
Yeah, so small.
Yeah, so that were retail orientated. So it became a bit harder and harder. So it was either... So it was either to stay in the game, I had to fork in a lot of money.
It was an inspiration happening back then when you were doing
this? Yeah, they were called 3D back then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you were competing with them.
Oh, they were more trade though. Right. So I was competing, like my competitor was Bunnings. And then back then it used to be Masters as well.
Yeah, so you were more like a retailer.
I was a retailer. Yeah. So it was either sit there and there was a lot of other independent stores at the time when I was around, but they started closing down, dropping off. And it was like I said, pouring a lot more money in it to keep it going, or just cut the losses and go. So I did that. So I had a break for a while. Caught up on a lot of things at home that I had to do around the house.
No more traveling.
Yeah, traveling kind of slowed down a bit. And then I got itchy feet. So it took me about, what, 3-4 months after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the advertisement on computer on Seek. And it was arms and ifs, so I didn't know if I either going to do it 100% or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of played with it for a few days, maybe a week or so. And then I realized, I looked at it again one day and I found out that the closing for application was 4 o'clock that afternoon. So I quickly rushed. I think I done it at 3:30 or something and sent it. I go, okay, good, sent it now. Okay, let's go for it. We'll do it. The next day, 10 o'clock, got a phone call.
Wow.
Yep, and the rest is history.
A strong applicant, obviously.
Yeah, must have been.
When was that? Was it?
That was 2016. 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
You remember who called you still?
As I know who interviewed me. That's not a problem. I know
who interviewed you?
Stuart Waters and Glenn Tipping. They were both area managers at the time.
Okay.
Both have left it now. Left they're not yet. Both yeah. left. Yeah.
Okay.
So
what kind of got you interested in, is it was just like, yeah, I've done this before and you know, something easy.
Yeah, but I was interested in the, like that's why I said it took 3-4 months just to get out of the system. And within, like, especially early, mm-hmm. the first 2 months, I didn't know if I wanted to go back into paints. I didn't know what to do.
Right.
And then as it kept on going, is the thing that came across my mind all the time was that that's what I'm good at. I know paints inside out. I know how to run a company, and so on. So, and it just happened that came in and they were looking for a store manager. Wow. So, and I was reading it and I said, I've just ticking the boxes all the way through.
Right.
And then...
Which store was it for? Was it for Chippendale?
No, it was Punchbowl.
Punchbowl. Okay.
At the time. So, I applied for it and, called me at 10 o'clock next day. And then a week later... done a few tests, I think. Yeah, I've done a computer test.
Health test.
Health test. And then I had an interview. No, the computer test first, then I passed that. Then I had the interview with Stuart and Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, yeah, you got the job, so I came for a medical.
Mm.
So that was...
Start straight after.
So yeah, well, I wasn't working, so I started straight away.
Yeah, 2016.
Yeah.
How was it different from what you were doing as a business owner now? Obviously, you're still running a small business, managing a store. How was it different?
It was different in a few levels. But first of all, like, I had to learn the Dulux way.
Mm.
But what I was doing was my way, and there was no right or wrong. It was my way, and I was doing it, and it was successful for quite some time. So out of those 12 years, I say the 10 years were very successful. It's the last two that came, and
mm-hmm.
it was the problem. Now I had to adapt what I knew, or what I've learned in the last 20 years or so, 25 years, into, or 20 years at the time, into the way Dulux do things and operates and how they function. And it came, look, probably going to Punchbowl because it was a smaller store was probably a blessing in disguise, because I picked up things very quickly and I knew how Dulux wanted things to be done. And it was corporate. We're talking about Dulux now. They're a big animal. Yes. So they talk about corporate here now.
Of course.
Which I had no experience about corporate. I dealt with Waddle and I dealt with Cullen and all those guys before in meetings and all that, but I was on the other side.
Yeah. Going back again, how did you buy your paint from Dulux? Did you just have an account?
I had an account, yeah.
You had an account manager. Which didn't have good
prices.
did you have an account manager back then?
There's quite a few people that I've known from there and they're still working here. Gabriella Murray, she's still in retail. I think she's still there.
Right.
I met Andrew Gray.
Right.
Who's gone to Porter's now. Mm-hmm. He used to be my rep.
Right.
I met Peter Jex. Yeah, so I've known quite a few people that are still working, or when I came across here, they were still working for Dulux.
Hmm. I guess it took you a bit of time to then adapt to Dulux way and... Yeah. So what is... I guess from my understanding and other people's understanding, what is a job of a store manager, really? What do you do day-to-day, if you want to simplify it?
I was going to say something, but then after watching the Fit for Life number 3, they said you can't multitask. You don't multitask, but I have to say that you have to know how to multitask.
Yeah.
There is special, and there's a big difference between Punchbowl and Chippendale.
Yes. Sorry. Let's talk about that. So you spent a couple of years
in the punch bowl.
Came to Chippendale.
And then a lovely lady called Nicole Young.
Yes.
Which is our state manager.
Yes.
Wanted me to take over Chippendale. So I moved to Chippendale.
Yeah.
Now, Chippendale's like, you know, totally different beast to...
Yeah, closest to the city, so a lot of stuff.
City, we deal with a lot more reps, a lot more customers that are in the city that are more corporate, architects, interior designers. I wanted a challenge, and I got a challenge. I'm loving it though. I love the challenge. Punchbowl started to get a bit...
Okay.
It's good, but... I needed Chippendale. Yeah, I needed something.
A bit of challenge. Still, okay.
A challenge. And it is. Running Chippendale is a challenge.
So let's talk about what is it? What is the job of a store manager in simple terms?
Serving the customers. But that's the easiest thing to do. And I teach or lead my team to serve the customers the way I want to be served. And that's how I teach them. Or... you know, hopefully they do it. As far as I know, they're doing it well. We've grown quite a bit, and you've got to have that understanding with your team,
right?
And I like for them to express themselves as well, not to think, I'll put my opinion in, but I want them to have their own opinion and form their own judgment about whatever task I tell them to do or show them to do. So serving the customers one, but then behind that there's stock control.
Yes.
Safety.
Yes.
And that's probably number one, safety. Because if they're not safe out there, then we've got a huge problem.
Yeah.
And they've got to be happy too. So I try to keep the morale. And the morale's pretty high here at Chippendale. So we do have fun. Although it's a very busy store, we're in and out. And you've got to, like I said, you've got to multitask. And they've got to know who's, if you're talking to a customer, you're talking on the phone, or you're doing an order, you've got to know what's happening.
Absolutely.
Because you'll lose yourself in there.
Yeah. How many... guys you have full-time now?
We got seven full-times, including myself.
Right.
Plus two drivers. So there's about nine of us, which I got to take care of those guys as well. Although they're not, like, they're employed by an allied, but still they're part of our team. They grow. Yeah, they grow. And we've got to imagine how we want them to service our customers when they go out there.
Yes. What is it that you like about what you do? And your role?
I touched before, it's a challenge.
You like the challenge?
I love the challenge. You know, I love, you know, it doesn't matter if it's we're talking about a budget or fulfilling the customer's need or making the reps happy because I've done what they've, you know, or they asked me to do a specific task or they've hit the wall at something and I help them out. I don't mind doing that. I don't mind helping the other store managers out when they need something. So there's a bit of everything. I can't specifically say one thing.
What is, you think, I guess, the main challenge that you facing then in this job, or like in your role? What's the challenge that you like to overcome? What is something that you think?
One thing that I'd love to happen is have enough team members.
Okay.
Yeah, because sometimes it drops a bit. It does. And it puts strain on the rest of them. And then they either get upset or they get tired. And if they get tired, that means they get lazy. If they get lazy, then there's a safety issue. So as much as, you know, it's hard out there, and I understand where some of our managers are coming, our line managers saying it's hard, but we need enough team members to run this place. And it's not just Chippendale, it's in every store. Because that could happen to any store. And that's the challenge, to keep them happy, to keep them safe. Is a bit of a challenge because, you know, not only they've got work on their mind, they'll have personal things that might distract them from doing their work.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you've got to come across and, you know, blank out the work and talk to them as a friend.
Okay. So I want to give you an idea about inspiration stores and how does that affect what we do with DTC. Is that complimenting us, you think, or is it challenging the way you guys work?
Actually, it's a good question. Are they the part of Dulux? They're not.
Yeah.
And I understand
the franchises. Yeah.
So, and I understand where they come from because I've owned my own businesses before, and they're independently owned. And I know a few of the people out there that are own inspiration stores. And the way they look at it a bit different, and I can see them looking at it different, and I know how they execute things like that because I've been in that position.
Right.
Now, some people who've worked for Dulux and haven't owned their own business, especially a paint business, might not understand that or might can't see it the way I do because I've been on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got no real problem helping them out, and I do that quite a bit, and because we hold a lot of stock here at Chippendale, I've got that luxury to help them out.
Yes.
And I do get quite a few phone calls from inspiration stores to help them out.
Yeah.
I haven't got a problem with that, but I just don't want them to think that I'm a warehouse for them.
Yes.
That's about it.
That's what I've heard too. But look, and I guess the other thing is, I guess each painter, commercial painter, they have, I guess, their own preferences on where to buy. That's what I know. And I'm not sure if it's number of them that you serve here particularly. Or
they go around.
The
painters will go around. They might have their little love nest on inspiration and they'll go there. But they'll move around. It depends on the job. You know, if it's a big job and especially with inspirations, they'll deliver anywhere.
Yes.
Anywhere. Now with the new system that we've got, with the OMS kicking in, the track and trace and all that, okay, we can deliver too, but not like they can because they'll just deliver anywhere and it doesn't matter. And what time, there's no limit.
Good point that you touched on that. What do you think of the new, we call it POS system?
The new POS system,
Point of sale, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah?
I love it, yeah. We were one of the first stores in New South Wales to get it.
Mm-hmm.
We got the OMS, and then everything came in bit by bit. The OMS, Track and Trace, Trade Direct, and they're all separate at the time. And then once everything was shown, then it all clicked together.
Right.
And the guys here, the team here, we just were all over it.
What do you think is the best benefit for you, especially in the store? Is it the visibility?
It is the visibility. With the Track and Trace, because it's live as well, you got live, so you know exactly what they're holding. As long as the store manager or the team keep their levels right. And it's going to be a bit out here and there. We're not perfect. You know, we're human beings. We're not robots. And we're going to have little errors here and there. And with Track and Trace coming into it as well, obviously, now that's come into it, and Trade Direct, they're all together now. It's the transparency in the whole thing.
Right.
So, which is pretty good.
I think so as well. It's definitely is a big player in the game. I think we should have had it long before. Pizza deliveries have that, to be honest. You order a pizza hot, you already get that track and trace.
Yeah, we know where it's coming, and we can see it. So, to have that as a customer to know that it's coming and we get an SMS, it's left. The store's on its way. Okay, guys, he'll get, it's coming, he'll be here in 15 minutes.
It's managing the expectation, isn't it?
Yeah, and get your brushes ready, you move over there, bang, so they know about it.
Yeah.
So, it's a big plus. It's a big plus.
Okay. There's a whole bunch of other things coming too. I think Trade Direct.
Yeah, Trade Direct app. Ordering online.
I'm not sure how's the take up with the customers. But.
Oh, look, it won't. Not for the big customers. I don't think the big commercial customers, I don't think it's going to be favorable for them. The middle size to the smaller ones, I think they should have it.
Yeah.
They should have it.
Everyone orders things online now. Yeah. I think people like to order
things. I think because of this COVID thing, the online has just taken off.
Absolutely.
And I think we've done a perfect timing to get this going.
Absolutely.
Now.
I agree. Looking at the future, I guess, is it something else or more you want to do? Or are you happy with what you're doing? I'm talking about career goal.
I'll probably be honest here, and we'll come to a point that I won't find this job challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be looking for something more.
Okay.
Definitely. And that's just knowing the way I am.
Yeah.
I'll just find, I've gone to this level, I'm comfortable at this level, start getting really content about it.
Sure.
So I want another challenge.
So what will be kind of possible next then? Like a network area manager?
Big plus, something like that.
Something like that.
Because I've done it before.
Yeah.
When I had 3 stores, I can easily go back into it when I'm running 6, 7 stores or whatever it may be. That's one possibility, being a network area manager. Don't know about sales. I don't know about sales. I don't mind it.
Trade sales
and all that. I don't mind that. Okay. It'll be definitely something with the paint, because that's my experience. So, and Dulux, I'd stay with Dulux because they've been good.
What is it like that you like about Dulux? What do you think is good about Dulux? What comes to your mind when you say Dulux?
It's the people that we meet.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the people that we meet. We just got some really good people here, and sometimes I don't talk about just work, and everyone's here to help you, and that's what I found from being a punch bowl from day one, that everyone's here to help. So if you've got any problems,
mm-hmm.
you just got to speak to the right person that can help you, whatever problem that may be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a delivery problem, could be a paint problem, could be anything. You just got to speak to the right person. And I found that from day one when I was at Punch Bowl, and it continues. So here, you like, even and the more you stay with it, the years turn over, the more people you know, and there's more avenues to get help if needed.
Very good. Yeah, but that's seems like a same. Everyone talks about the people, Dulux, and how they help each other. Let's talk a little bit about outside work, I guess.
Outside work. It could be dangerous.
You don't have to disclose everything, but let's explore a little bit there. Like, what is it that you like? Do you have, when you have free time? What do you like to do? Do you have any hobbies?
Yeah, I do. Cars.
Is cars.
One. Yeah, over the years I've built two or three cars.
Built two or three cars
from scratch. And two pretty much from scratch. Other ones I just like collecting. I had a 69 Tirana Holden.
Wow.
Rolling shell.
What do you mean built? Like you have a garage and you put parts
by everything, bit by bit.
Engine, everything?
Everything, yeah. They're pretty simple motors with those.
How did you learn that?
Randomly? Just friends and, friends again. But they taught me. I had a cousin of mine who was a mechanic. And we just went through together and put the motor together and...
Start putting things together.
Yeah, they've done a lot of homework.
And can you register those cars?
Yeah, I registered. It was just 69 Tirana. So I'll show you a picture, but you can't see it.
I'm trying to get that photo and put a link for that photo maybe after.
And it was pretty good. It came out good. It came a little coupe, two-door coupe.
Right. So you make them and what, you sell them or you keep
them? Yeah, I kept them and then I sold it. I sold it probably about 3-4 years later.
Right.
And I wish I kept it. Was it worth a lot of money now?
Yeah, sure.
So, and then after that, that was a Tirana. Then a few years later, I bought an old 76 Cortina, Ford Cortina, four-door. It was, had a six-cylinder in it, so I took it out. I was adventurous and put a V8 in it. kept that for a few years and then sold that as well. But my hobby's little cars. I've always had little sports cars. At the moment, I've got an old Mercedes coupe sports car. That one's I've kept it pristine because it is a very good looking and it's starting to get a bit rare, those cars. It's a bit old. It's about 22 years old now, but it's in very good condition.
Okay.
Very low case for that year.
Spin it on the weekend or something.
Just go cruising. It's a nice cruise. I've been to the Hunter Valley with it quite a few times.
Right.
And it's got nice bends up there and you just kind of cruise in and out before you start drinking the wine, so.
And not driving after.
correct. Yeah, so that's a bit of a hobby.
Sports?
Sports, mad football, as in soccer fan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Australian or
overseas? No, Liverpool. England. Liverpool. England. Wow. Yeah, I follow, I'm a big fan of Liverpool. After you watch the EPL, the English Premier League, then you're going to watch A-League and it drops. It's not the level. The level's
like
not there.
It's like primary school almost.
I can't get into it. Sorry. In rugby league, big Bulldogs fan.
Big Bulldog, okay.
Yeah. Very lean years lately, but anyway, hopefully next year will be better. apart from that, I do a bit of gardening. I don't mind that. I got my little backyard there with barbecue area and my fridge and my gardening, and so we like to relax, al fresco kind of style. We do that quite a bit.
Right.
And traveling when we can.
And traveling, hopefully. Are you into Music, movies, do you watch?
Music, I can listen to anything from Tchaikovsky all the way to Metallica. Or right. Metal. Yeah. It started when I was at high school. I was doing 3 years in art, 2 years in art, 6 years I was doing art. My art teacher used to have Tchaikovsky playing in the background very lightly, or Beethoven very lightly. So wow. I got into that.
Mm.
And then when I used to leave, I used to go with the mates, we used to listen to heavy metal and everything in between.
Mm.
My brother was a DJ growing up. So, you know, from about 14, 15, I was always hanging out with him, being the groupie or the roadie and taking his speakers everywhere, whatever the job he had to do. And, you know, so I got into music.
Different type of music.
Yeah, and all different types. So it doesn't matter what it is, I can listen to.
Even different languages.
And sometimes I don't know, understand what they're saying, but I'll listen to different. Yeah, French are very good. Spanish are very nice. You know, my favourite musical instrument is the Spanish guitar.
Wow.
Yeah, I love the Spanish guitar. My daughter bought me one for a Father's Day present. Don't know how to play it. So it sits there covered and all that.
Pick up some courses on that.
Yeah. Awesome.
A lot of things happening.
Okay. A lot of things happening.
Okay. I'm going to throw some, how do you call it, questions at you.
Okay.
Or words at you, and I want to get your first thing comes to your mind.
Oh dear.
Or this any explanation that you want to say.
This could be very good or very bad.
Yeah. Well, no, they're okay. To be honest, they're pretty okay. So,
okay.
Ready?
Okay. Let's go.
Let's go. Holidays.
Always.
Always. Let's say you could travel. What would be the first destination you would like to go?
Look, we want to get back to Tahiti.
Tahiti.
I went there on a honeymoon.
Right.
And it's going to be 30 years next year of our marriage.
Right.
So I'd love to get back to Tahiti.
What's good about it? I've never been there. It's just beach
serenity. Yeah. And absolutely nothing. You know, like, and these Tahitian people, like, I remember going on the honeymoon and we went on a bike ride, Karina and I. So we started off, and as we started off, we saw, you know, a family next to the water. The house was next to the hut was next to the water, and I was getting ready to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we made like 6-7 hours and we stopped, went around the island, by the time we came back, because we kept on stopping, like, it was a full day, and we went past the same house. They were all sitting down, they had a line up and all the fish that they caught, and a fire going.
Wow.
And I go, that's the life.
That's a life, yeah. Like you picture that very well.
And they were laughing, and they were singing, they had a guitar out, and they didn't have a care in the world. The next day, they done exactly the same thing. Not that we can do that, we've got other things to take care of, but it was just, Tahiti was very nice that way. But, you know, like I said, there's other places. Greece, a couple of years ago, Corinne and I went to Italy as well.
Yeah.
Siena, Tuscany, Florence. Absolutely beautiful. So I wouldn't mind going there again.
Family.
Love.
How old are they?
Now, my daughter's now 25 and my son's 21.
Okay.
And they both finished uni. My daughter done social work.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually works a couple of blocks away from me in Strawberry Hills.
Right.
She works for the Justice Department of Family Affairs. So she's got a very good job. She's done very well. She's very, very mentally strong. Yeah, very mentally strong. And my son, he went into sports science.
Right.
Yeah, so he's into that. So he just finished that course, and he was going to have this year as a gap year to go overseas to Europe and all that, but he can't. So he was going to do that, then come back next year and do his master's in sports science. So that might just differ a little bit. So okay. I think he might be still do that tomorrow next year, and then go Europe after that.
They're still staying with you guys?
Yeah, okay. We've got a big house, so yeah, they're over.
They're still
there. Yeah.
Meditation.
Hardly ever. I probably should, but I hardly do it. I can't. Sometimes, if I have to go to sleep, I go to sleep. I can't meditate.
You're hyperactive.
Yeah, maybe I'm wasting my time. I should be doing something good in the car or cutting the grass or something. Or I don't know. Meditation. I can honestly say I don't think I have ever done that.
Some people do it during the day. I when I had, you know, I was under a lot of stress, it helped a lot, to be honest. 20 minutes a day, just relax, free your mind, you know. Don't think about anything. Put a little chill music in the background. and that's it. It helps a lot.
Maybe something I should think about.
Maybe. Public speaking.
Ooh, public speaking, I'm better at it.
Mm.
I remember when I was at school, I used to hate it. Am I good at it? I'm not too sure. Like, no one's ever come and told me, oh, that was good or was bad. So I don't know.
Work in progress.
Yeah, it is. I think big work in progress. It's something that I don't really... That's a good one. Public speaking.
You probably do... I don't know. You probably have meetings with your team.
That's
and
right.
All that. But when, let's say, I don't know, big event, 100 people, 200 people.
Yeah, probably not.
All Dulux management's lining up.
They're all lined up looking at you. I don't know. I've never been a big... Yeah. Sport team, not a problem. Big... Don't know about that.
Okay.
Don't know about
that's
that.
That's all right.
Yeah. Probably depends what we're talking about.
That's good point.
It depends what we're talking about and how confident I'm about what we talk about.
That's good. Yeah, if you know, I guess it's easier. Vegemite.
Love it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Love Vegemite and my family hates it. So I'm the only one that eats Vegemite,
I found there's two type of people. They either love it or they hate it.
Yeah.
There's not in between.
love it. Yeah, I've got no problem with eating Vegemite at all. Yeah. At all, yeah.
Okay. You put on the toast, a bit of butter, cheese, all that. That's
it. Yep. Beautiful.
Okay.
Bit of avocado, a bit of lemon twist, pepper. You're right.
Negotiation.
Love it. Yep. Love negotiating. It's part of the challenge.
Part of a life or thing, isn't it?
Everything you do.
Whatever you do is negotiating.
Yeah, it's negotiating. Whatever you do, banks, negotiate. Mm. Car, negotiate.
Your kids, negotiate.
And they're getting better. Well, I'm just getting tired. One of the two. Negotiation is very good. It's part of life. Like you said, it's part of life, and we all got to do it. Sometimes you get to a point on certain subjects that I kind of say, you know what, I'm not up to it, you know.
Are you a good cook?
Very good.
What do you cook? What's your go-to style cooking? Is it just a
I can do
grill?
A mean roast lamb.
Mm.
I can do a whole fish in the oven.
Right.
Or on the barbecue. Like I said, I've got pictures I can show you. You're a freak. I do a lot of cooking and I love my cooking. I love my chilies. I love my spices.
Right.
I do a mean...
Cooking?
A mean potato. Right. And I call it the mustard potatoes. It's enthralled with mustard and thyme. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, I love it. I'm good.
Robots. What do you think of robots?
Yeah, they're coming to get us.
Robots coming to get us.
That's right.
That sounds like a rhyme. That's a good rhyme.
Yeah, it is.
Do you think
it's starting to...
It's starting happening.
Yes, it is. It's taking over. Like, how many jobs now that, you know, automation?
But is it a good thing, though, or not? I mean, some of the things you mentioned before in Fit for Life and the little... What do you call it? The hand?
The hook lift.
The hook lift.
Yeah.
I call it a little robot. It's not really smart, but it's a little robot.
Yeah.
So in that sort of space, do you think...
It's very good.
Robots in the future, maybe there's something that could pick up and drop things in the store?
I think they already do that. And that's where they got the concept of that one. Because that's more of a safety.
Mm.
And it works well. Because, you know, I've got a team member who's pregnant.
Mm.
Perfect.
And it still can work.
She grabs it and she just moves everything with this hook lift. She loves it.
Mm.
Now, come to think of it, if I didn't have that hook lift in, she's pregnant. She'd be calling one of us.
That's it.
And then we're going to take away from what we have to do. Which is, it would be a problem later on because then there would be two people doing one job.
Yeah.
Now, she can still do her job just using the hook lift and save strain. So, on that aspect, robots are good. But then you flip side it and then there's, you know, there'll be a factory out there that had employed 20, 30 people.
Mm.
Now it's down to 5 because automation robots are coming in and they're
taking over. All the Amazon warehouses are fully automated. I think Coles...
They're going that
making,
way?
Is yeah,
that
the one out west? Yeah, they're making it fully automated. Look, I have an idea. I don't know what you think. I feel if a robot replaces a kind of a mundane sort of repetitive task of humans, I'm okay with that, because human was not, in my opinion, created to do a repetitive task.
Right. And it goes
and we're not good at it, because as you know, in the store, if you have to do the same thing over and over again, we're going to be tired and we're going to something unsafe.
There's less area for mistakes. Errors. Simple. Yeah. When you got a robot, like I said before, we're not robots. We're going to do mistakes.
Mm.
The robot won't do a mistake.
Yeah.
As long as the power's on.
I think there's always going to be a job for us. It's just going to be different.
Well, there's people to program them, to make them.
To manage them.
So yeah. We just got to change the way we think, and which jobs that we scheduled to do, we might have to change it to do other jobs, or so it can fulfill the needs of a robot.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of roles that we have now, and we call it whatever. We couldn't think of it 20 years ago, 10 years ago. It would not have existed.
Hmm.
If we look 10 years from now, there's going to be roles that we don't even know what it is.
It's just the way of thinking, the way of educating ourselves.
Yeah.
To be alongside robots.
Hmm. I wanted to get you also, we didn't talk too much about it because we're kind of out of this situation, but coronavirus, what do you think about that? We all experienced that in the past 2 years. Well,
yeah.
Some way or another.
It could have been handled better.
Mm.
And I'm not saying just what we've done here in Australia or the world, when it first broke out.
Mm.
It could have been handled better, and where it went and restrict it. Because once it went out, that was it. You know, we couldn't stop it. And it was very disappointing. So many people have died from it.
Yes.
Look, I might be wrong here. Like I said, I don't know all the facts, but it could have been prevented, I think, or less collateral damage.
Yeah.
Right. Less of that.
How did that affect you and your business?
It didn't really affect us. We went the other way. Last year was one of the biggest, the biggest year Chippin' Dollars had since I've been here.
Wow.
In turnover. Yeah.
So you guys were open.
We were open.
Did you have any lockdown? No.
We did not close. It was one week or so.
Construction lockdown was...
Yeah, so we had doing like 120, 130 transactions a day.
Wow.
That's how busy this store gets. And there's other stores that are similar, other big stores that are similar to us, but not many. Then we're down to 15 transactions a day.
Right.
Yeah, that's a big, just nosedive. But that happened this year. Last year, when it first came out, we went the other way. We could not stop.
Was it, you think, commercial painters that they're just trying to put the stock in their warehouses, or was it just
it was work? See, what happened, especially down the city down here, is that a lot of buildings, a lot of floors,
right,
they had to vacate, and they said work from home. Uh-huh. So they
had time to repaint it.
They had time to repaint
there
it.
There you
floor
go.
After floor after floor after floor.
Yeah, and just went, good point.
Kaboom.
Mm.
So we had to ride with it, and we did. Like I said, it was one of the biggest, the biggest turnover that I've been here for 5 years in Chippendale. Wow. Last year.
Okay. Innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. We talk about it in Dulux. We're innovating stuff. Or in general, what do you think of innovation?
I think it's moving very fast. Moving very fast. Like I'd say 10 years, you go back 10 years.
Right.
I think it's gone 100 times faster than that.
Yeah. Mm.
It's just people are starting to...
Bring new things, new products. Quicker.
And cause of, let's say 20 years ago, we used to think, what a big world this is.
Mm.
Because to go to the other side of the world, to go to America, to go to Europe, such a long time, did calling now, you press a button on the computer and you're there, and you can talk to people and they show you what's happening. 12 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's just...
How is it important though, in do you think, Dulux? Do you think, we should focus more on it to bring new technology, new products, new ways to do things?
Maybe...
new solutions to apply?
We've got some good products as well.
Yeah.
Which we probably and may be able to get better.
Mm-hmm.
There's always better. There's always going to be something better. And there's going to be another paint company out there to do something better.
Yeah.
So I think, we should spend, and if it's the millions, spend the millions to get it better. Because there's going to be someone else. Even if it's maybe too advanced right now, at least have it there.
Mm-hmm.
And in time, bring it in to introduce it. Whatever it may be. It might be paint or what's in the paint or
Okay. But just getting it better. Okay.
Definitely.
Leader.
Yep.
What's come to your mind, or what do you think is a good leader? What's a characteristic of a good leader?
Flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge. Then, but you don't have to know everything. But if you don't, make sure that you know a person that does know something about what you're searching. So have your options there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Competitor.
You got to have them.
You got to have.
That's a challenge.
Yeah.
Before, I don't remember, we were talking about earlier about having challenges and all that in work and life. You know, competitors in this industry that we got, yeah, we've got to have them. And I love them. Bring them on.
What? Why do you think we should have competitor?
It raises the bar.
Mm.
It raises my bar anyway. So you're like, every time that level goes up and up, when we get a competitor or, you know, there's a challenge ahead.
To get better.
To get better.
Yeah.
And you learn more. And you might not get it the first time, might be a mistake. Like, you've done something wrong, but you're going to learn from that mistake.
Mm.
So when you go again for this challenge, hey, don't do it this way, because I've been there. Let's veer and do it this way. Like, you know, options.
Very good. We talked about a lot of things.
We have.
But lastly, this is something I ask from everyone. I mean, you've been working in Jewelox and generally in the paint game for a while. Do you have any favorite color in general in life? Because we're in the business of color.
I have one main favorite color. Yes, I do. And there's another color that I like, but there's one favorite color.
What is it?
It's crimson.
Crimson.
Yeah, not red. Crimson.
Wow.
Blood red.
Okay. Is that something you would wear as well, or is it just like crimson, the color that you put on the wall?
Yeah, it depends. Like, you know, have I got a few reds? I've got a couple that are pretty, you know, in that blood red kind of shirts and t-shirts and things like that. Not pants though, no.
And do you have any favorite product in general? Like, do you like some? Do you like when you say Jewelox? What comes to your mind first thing? As if someone doesn't know anything about Jewelox, and you're like, hey, take this. Well, you know about Jewelox.
Okay, look, the weather shield or the wash and wear is, yeah,
a staple.
It's a staple, you know? Yeah. And it would be some, and this goes back how many years now, 30, 40 years, is, you know, you bring the dog out.
Mm.
I don't say that's a sheepdog. Oh, it's a Jewelox dog.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've, you know, it's like Waddle had the horse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Waddle had a horse and he used to walk across a timber floor just being varnished.
That'd be hard to bring to events.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, so they had Waddle. That's what Waddle was good for. You know, what are you good for, Waddle? Yeah, anyway, that was their catchphrase. I remember that.
Okay. Something else I forgot to ask, and is around social media, TikTok and all that. You know, a few months back, I think there was a video came out. There was this guy mixing paint at the store. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah. And he was sharing it, and people were going crazy. The guy was taking a video while he was
mixing
the paint.
Okay.
And it was just fascinating for people to see how the paints mix and create a new color.
Okay. I've never seen it. I'm not a big in, you know, Facebook, TikTok, social and all that. Media. Yeah, social media. Like, yeah, I use it quick, but I don't like that social media. I don't
you're
sit
not,
there
not
too doing, much. Yeah, yeah, I'm not a big player of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
But finally, the poor guy got the sack.
So was it like it was open and they threw the tinter in and then he went in?
He was just saying, hey, today I'm going to make this blah, blah, blah color.
Yep.
And it was just going through the process and showing how it looked like. And because when he was mixing, it was like mixing the color. It was like kind of interesting for people to see.
No, I remember having, you know, not much here because we're all tradesmen here, but when I had my stores and I had young little kids and they used to put them on the shaking machine and all that, and they used to freak out. They used to look at us moving.
Yeah.
Maybe it's interesting. I don't know.
Okay. Anything I missed and you wanted to share? Anything that you would like to add on?
No, I was amazed that we talked about that much. Because when you first, you know, we'll have a chat and I said, well, what can we possibly talk about?
But there's a lot of things
to talk about. Yeah. No, it's to add, no. I'm quite happy where I am at the moment. So,
okay. Well, it was a good conversation.
It was a great conversation. I'd didn't know what to expect, but it was really good in the end.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Thanks.
Had a few laughs.
Definitely. Thanks for your time, Steve. Hopefully people, I'm sure they enjoyed listening to you and learning a little bit more. learn a little bit more about you and what you do and where you came from, what you like to do outside work. Until next time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. See you next time.